What do you take pride in? Maybe the work that you do gives you particular satisfaction. Maybe you find most fulfillment in your marriage or in your children. The Christians in Galatia, who Paul wrote to in the book of Galatians, had to ask this question of themselves. What do they take most pride in? The compelling false teachers who came to the churches of Galatia after Paul, they took pride in ethnic Judaism. They took pride in their external adherence to various Old Testament regulations like circumcision and the dietary laws and the Jewish festival observances. They took pride in how many people they could convince to follow them. But that's not what Paul took pride in. Paul boasted only in the cross of Christ. And as Paul concludes his letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, Paul shows us that the most meaningful thing about us, what we should take most pride in, isn't the color of our skin, isn't our job, isn't even our family. The one thing worth boasting in is precisely the cross of Christ. And Paul speaks about his boast in the cross of Christ in four aspects, which you'll find on the handout in your bulletin to help you follow along this morning. In verses 11 through 13, Paul tells us to boast in the cross so that we may resist false teaching. In verse 14, he tells us to boast in the cross because it is the cross that has crucified the world to us and us to the world. In verse 15, he tells us to boast in the cross because the cross has made us a new creation. And finally, as he concludes in verses 16 through 18, we should boast in the cross because it has made us a part of the Israel of God. Read with me God's word to us through Paul here at the end of Galatians, beginning in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, even upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we worship you, we may be reminded by any number of things that we worshiped this past week other than you. There may be any number of things that we considered more worthy of our time, of our focus, of our devotion, of our love and affections, more than you. And Father, we come before you now repenting of that. We confess that as sin, we confess it as idolatry. We confess it to be on the same order of folly as the false teachers of Galatia who boasted in circumcision. Father, we pray this morning as we consider Paul's words that you would help us to be able to say truly what he himself wrote. That we would be resolved to boast only in the cross of Christ, because it is only the Lord Jesus, crucified and risen, who can strengthen us to resist false teaching as we encounter it today, who has crucified us to the world, who has made us a part of your new creation, and who has adopted us into your family. Father, fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to run with endurance the race that you've set before us. Equip us to do that, we pray, by your word, through your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage begins in verse 11 with Paul pointing us, drawing out his own words. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. What Paul is doing in verse 11 is he's drawing our attention to everything that comes after it. Basically, what Paul is doing here is as if he was typing a modern letter, he has put this in bold and underline and italics. He is emphasizing this paragraph in every way that he knows how. Because what Paul is doing in this closing paragraph of Galatians is he is putting before us front and center that what we must boast in, what we must take pride in, is not ourselves, is not in anything about us or about what we do, but solely in the cross of Christ. And what Paul does in these opening verses 11 through 13, is he shows us that we should boast in the cross of Christ first because it is the cross that helps us to resist false teaching. The contrast between the false teachers in Galatia and Paul in these verses couldn't be any clearer. The false teachers' faith in a false gospel is hypocritical. They're only concerned about appearances. They want to be able to boast in the flesh of the Galatians. They want to be able to boast that they've turned these Galatian Christians from the one true gospel about the death and resurrection of Jesus for the salvation of everyone who believes, and twist that into a message of legalism, into a message that it's not ultimately Christ that saved us, but we need to add our own merit to His as well. The faith of the false teachers is hypocritical. They want to make a good showing in the flesh, verse 12 says. They want to boast in flesh, as verse 13 says. What the false teachers wanted is they wanted the Galatian Christians to adopt this external observance of Old Testament laws so that they could boast in these Gentiles becoming Jews. Ultimately, Paul says these false teachers are insisting on circumcision, verse 12 you notice, so that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Because indeed, the cross of Christ does bring persecution. The book of Acts tells us repeatedly that as Paul was going around preaching Christ crucified and risen, that there would be mobs that would form to beat him or to put him in prison or to kick him out of town. The cross of Christ brings persecution. It is an unpopular message that cuts at the very heart of all our human pride. The pride that lies to us all our lives and says, you can be good enough. You can earn your way into heaven. You can earn a right standing with God. Your good deeds can outweigh your bad deeds. The gospel puts all that thinking to the lie. The gospel tells us that our bad deeds far outweigh our good deeds. God's word tells us that even one instance of law breaking is as if we have broken His whole law. The Bible shows us plainly that our sin earns death. And in fact, our sins brought Jesus to death. Our sins are serious. Our sins are so serious that the only thing that could pay their penalty, if not we ourselves for all eternity, is the very Son of God taking our sin on Himself at the cross and enduring God's righteous anger on our sins in our place. Circumcision won't cut it. Observance of the Old Testament law won't cut it. We can't fully keep God's law. And so the cross of Christ is something for us to boast in because it protects us against this false teaching. The cross of Christ helps us to resist false teaching. What Paul is showing the Galatian Christians is the only thing that will guard their faith is a confidence in the truth of the gospel. And that's what Paul is telling us as well. This is the significance of verses 11 through 13. Write this down. If you want to be protected against false teaching, if you want to be strong to where you won't fall susceptible to it, you need to be 100% confident in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on this, we can very well be reminded that false teaching sometimes looks a little different in our context than it did 2,000 years ago. In our society, people won't persecute us into being legalistic like in Paul's day, but our society does certainly try to persecute us into being antinomian. Our society doesn't put too much emphasis on God's law. Our society is seeking to overturn God's law at every point. Paul was having to convince the Galatians to throw out the old bathwater of Old Testament ritual observances. In our day, we have to stand against our society throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Our society isn't just trying to throw out Old Testament ritual observances. Our society is trying to throw out God's moral law as well. Amen. In our day, we have to stand against our society, not compromising the truth of the gospel. We have to stand against an increasing pressure to fall into line with the sexual revolution and the LGBTQ revolution. Increasingly, there are people in society who are pressuring us to deny the biblical sexual ethic or other aspects of God's word, and we have to stand firm against that. And the only way we will is not if we're standing on our righteousness, not if we're resting on our laurels, not if we're saying, look at how good we are. The only thing that will help us to stand firm is if we are resting on the cross of Christ, if we are confident in His death and resurrection for our sins. Amen. And Paul hammers this point home in verse 14, where he gives us a second point to consider. We should boast in the cross alone because it has crucified the world to us and us to the world. By contrast to the false teachers, Paul's faith in the true gospel is a genuine faith. He boasts only in the cross of Christ because it was the cross that crucified the world to Paul and crucified Paul to the world. When the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul as Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians there, the world in that moment instantaneously became crucified to Paul. No longer did Paul live for the legalistic accomplishments that he could boast in, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, where Paul recounts for the Philippians, "If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." But in verse 7, he tells us what happened when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Paul says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." The world became crucified to Paul in that moment. In that moment, he could not take pride in his circumcision. He could not take pride in his observance of the law. When he was confronted with the vision of the Lord on the way to Damascus, he was like the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where he had to say, "Woe is me!" He was not righteous the way that Jesus was righteous. He was not crucified and risen the way that Jesus was crucified and risen. And in that moment, the world became crucified to Paul, and he became crucified to the world. He began living for Christ. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 3:8. "Indeed, I count," present tense, "everything is loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." When Paul became a Christian, the world was crucified to him and he was crucified to the world. He started experiencing persecution for the cross of Christ. He was preaching Christ in every city that he visited, proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And he, who once was a Jewish leader, suddenly became the object of Jewish persecution. Paul recounts a number of these persecutions for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Where Paul says, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, lest one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea." Paul indeed endured the loss of all things. He was crucified to the world. The world persecuted him as a Christian. And yet, as Paul writes Galatians, still he will boast only in the cross of Christ. For it is in the cross of Christ that he found eternal life. And so we too should learn from Paul to boast only in the cross of Christ. We dare not boast in ourselves. Any good work that we do as Christians is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. As with Paul, so with us. The cross crucified the world to us. Baptist pastor and professor Tom Schreiner says the cross has spelled death to the old world order for Christians. The world no longer rules over them. They are no longer beholden to the world. That's what Paul has been writing about in this book of Galatians. The cross crucified us to the world. Through faith in Jesus, we are united to Him and we are identified with Him. As Paul puts it in Galatians 4, 4 through 6, he says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" We are sons of God in the Son of God. Just as Jesus was crucified, so have we been crucified to the world. And that means that just as Jesus died and now lives to God, even so do we. We are to live for God's glory, boasting in the cross alone, not boasting in ourselves, but taking pride and finding our identity in the Lord Jesus, crucified and risen for us. And so, as Paul continues in this final paragraph in verse 15, he makes a third point. We should boast in the cross because it has made us a new creation. Yes, the cross crucifies us, but it also raises us from the dead. And so Paul says that he boasts in the cross because it has made him a new creation. Paul's circumcision in verse 15 counts for nothing. The uncircumcision of the Gentile Galatian Christians that he was writing to counts for nothing. It doesn't matter whether they were circumcised or not. Paul says what matters is a new creation. Keeping the law didn't give Paul a new heart and a new spirit. Paul received a new spirit through faith in Jesus, crucified and risen for him, and such is the case for all us Christians. Remember the point that Paul has already made in Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And Paul was writing that for him personally, but it's true for each and every one of us Christians. Because a few verses down, Galatians 3:2, he asks, "Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Just as Paul received the Spirit through hearing by faith, even so do we receive the Spirit in the same manner. We too are made a new creation in Christ. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where he says, "If anyone is in Christ," not just him, not just the other apostles, Not just pastors, not just deacons. Paul says every Christian, anyone, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are not only crucified with Him spiritually, we are raised with Him. We have His Spirit dwelling within us. And as those who are a part of the new creation, Paul immediately goes on to say, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, the fact that we are a new creation in Christ means that we have the privilege and the responsibility of taking that good news of salvation through faith in Him to everyone around us. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, if you're here this morning and you're not taking supreme pride in the cross, but taking supreme pride in something else, in anything else, maybe that's your spouse or your kids, maybe that's your job, maybe it's any number of things. If today and for all your life you have taken supreme pride in anything other than the cross of Christ, you need to hear these words of 2 Corinthians 5. You need to feel the weight of how the God who created you and sustained your life day in and day out deserves your utmost praise. He deserves your highest pride and joy. And the fact that we don't give it to Him, the Bible says, is sin. And when we reject the God who gives us life, we earn only death in its place.
Right.
We earn eternal separation from Him, eternal judgment from Him, because we have treated created things as though they are as valuable as the one who created them. But this is the good news of the gospel. That at the cross, God was not counting our trespasses against us. At the cross, God was treating Jesus the way that we deserve to be treated. God was pouring out His anger and condemnation on our sin on Jesus instead. And through that was reconciling us to Him, if we will repent and believe. If we will trust that Jesus did die on the cross, not for any sin of His own, He had none, but for our sin. And that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, bringing in the new creation. If we will believe in that, the Bible says that we will be saved. We will be reconciled to God, forgiven of our sins, our trespasses not counted against us, but against Christ. If you're not boasting in the cross this morning, I urge you to find life at the cross of Christ, to trust that He died for your sin and was raised for your salvation, so that you can be forgiven of your sin, reconciled to God, given eternal life, made a new creation through faith in Him. And brothers and sisters, this message is the message that we have to take to everyone around us. This is the message that we have to take to everyone that we know and encounter that are not trusting in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And brothers and sisters, as members of the new creation, this means that we should live according to the Spirit. It means that we should fight sin, that we should grow in godliness. And we do all this because of the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. As Christians, we can have great hope for experiencing increasing victory over sin in this life. The new creation has invaded the old creation, and it marches on forward and forward until the Lord Jesus comes back at last to make all things new. And so we boast in the cross of Christ, because that makes us a new creation. We don't boast in our flesh. Finally, in verses 16 through 18 of Galatians 6, Paul concludes this letter by saying that we should boast in the cross because it has made us part of the Israel of God. You'll notice that verse 16 sounds like a benediction. It sounds like the very end of a letter where Paul is blessing his audience and sending the letter on its way. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, even upon the Israel of God. But then Paul turns for a moment in verse 17. It catches us off guard. He gives a command right here in the middle of the benediction. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And then he concludes the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There is no other letter that Paul ends quite like this. There is no other letter in which Paul begins a benediction, a closing blessing, and then interrupts it with a command. He doesn't even do this to the Corinthians. He only does it here. Why? Because this is the problem that Paul has been addressing throughout this letter. These false teachers have come into the churches of Galatia and they're causing him trouble. They're leading people astray. There are people in the churches of Galatia that are starting to listen to these false teachers. They're starting to wander away from the truth of the gospel. They're starting to not boast in the cross of Christ the way that they should. And so Paul gives this final reminder. We should boast in the cross of Christ because it has made us part of God's people. It has made us part of the Israel of God. Paul blesses the Galatian Christians with peace and mercy in verse 16, with grace in verse 18. And what he does by doing so is highlight that God has brought Gentiles into his family. In the Old Testament, predominantly, it was Jews, it was Israelites who were part of the family of God. Typically, if someone believed in the Lord and were looking forward to the coming salvation, typically it was Israelites. Very few Gentiles. We have a few scattered examples in the Old Testament, but by and large it was Jews. But with the coming of Christ, God brings the Gentiles into his family. More and more Gentiles put their faith in Jesus for salvation. And these Gentiles indeed become part of the Israel of God. Amazingly, Israel is not comprised of all the circumcised, but of all who are part of God's new creation. Israel is not comprised of all Abraham's offspring through Isaac, but all Abraham's offspring through Jesus, the true offspring of Abraham, as Paul said in Galatians 3:16, where he brought out that the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, who is Christ. And these offspring of Jesus are not Jesus' physical descendants. His spiritual descendants are who we are. All those who trust in him for salvation, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, as Paul has said in Galatians 3:28, everyone who trusts in Christ are brought into the family of God, into the family of Abraham. And Paul says that no one should cause him trouble because he bears on his body the marks of Jesus. The marks of Jesus on his body, the persecutions that Paul has endured, these confirm the truthfulness of his gospel message. And sandwiched around that admonition in verse 17 is Paul's blessing of the Gentile Christians. Not only as part of the Israel of God, but notice how he closes in verse 18. He calls them brothers. What is the significance of this? Write this down. Within the family of God, there should not be any factionalism caused by false teaching. Rather, there should be peace, fostered by the mercy and grace of God, shown by His grace through faith in Christ Jesus. The good news that Paul is ending with here at the end of Galatians is that we Gentiles have been grafted onto the olive branch of Israel. We are the heirs of the promises that God made to Abraham. And we receive it through the cross of Christ, through His death and resurrection, that brings us into the family of God by faith in Him. And so let us boast in the cross of Christ. Christ on the cross is the one who reconciled us to God. Christ on the cross is the one who made us His co-heirs. Christ on the cross is the one who made us a new creation and crucified the world to us and us to the world. This is the glorious good news of the gospel. This is why we should boast in the cross of Christ alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the cross of Jesus Christ. And we pray that You would help us to boast in it alone. Help us not to boast in ourselves and in what we do. Help us to take pride and confidence in what Jesus did at the cross, bearing our sins for us. Help us to take confidence in His resurrection and the gift of His Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in newness of life, even as the Lord Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.